Now, you'll remember from last week, we touched on it a little bit when we read from 1 Samuel 18. I'd like to go back to last week's text and just remind you of a section of that that we read. It's 1 Samuel 18, where it says this: after David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. And from that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return to his father's house. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. And that's a phenomenal thing for the son of the king to do, is the relationship he had with David. But then, in today's reading, we see another time when Samuel and when Jonathan and David came together. And it's from 1 Samuel 20, beginning at verse 40. And then Jonathan gave the weapon to the boy and said, "Go, carry them back to town." And after the boy had gone, David got up from the south side of the stone and bowed down before Jonathan three times with his face to the ground. Then they kissed each other and they wept together, but David wept the most. Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, for we have sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord is witness between you and me and between your descendants and my descendants forever.'" And then David left and Jonathan went back to the town. From these readings, you get an idea of the friendship that Jonathan and David had together. It was a very, very, very strong bond. And it was a very unusual bond because Jonathan was the son of the king. And Jonathan could have been king if he wanted to. But Jonathan pulled back and said, "I am not going to be king. I know someone who would be a much better king than I would." He was anointed by God. He's brave. He fought the Philistine, fought Goliath, and he would be a fantastic king. This is the one that should be anointed king and not me. And instead of being resentful about the fact that David was going to be the next king of Israel, Jonathan instead befriended David. But it wasn't just a casual friendship. If you read these texts and you look at some of the words that are used, it says, "And Jonathan and David made a covenant together." And then in 1 Samuel 20, "We've sworn a friendship to each other." The relationship that Jonathan and David had wasn't just a casual relationship. It was a deep emotional friendship that helped David survive the wrath of Jonathan's father, Saul. It was a deep, deep, you could almost even say a covenantal, an oath-type friendship. Now, how many of you have had a friendship like that in your life, where you can look back and you say, "You know, I see what David and Jonathan had, and you know, there was a time in my life when I had a friendship like that." I can look back in my life, and I can tell you right now, I had a friendship just like David and Jonathan, except his name wasn't Jonathan. His name was Bill, and I knew him in high school and college, and we were completely inseparable, even if we were completely different as night and day. I was a musician. I loved to sing. I loved the arts and that sort of thing. Bill was a football player. But for some strange reason, we both played a guitar. Actually, we both played an Ovation guitar. And because of that common interest, we spent all our time together. We ended up forming a band, and we went around the United States singing in this little band. We had a couple people join. It was a lot of fun. We went to churches. And we were completely inseparable. And by the time our friendship had matured, it was so deep and so emotional, and we knew each other so well that we would have easily given our life for each other. That is a deep emotional friendship. Of course, then he got married and I got married, and now I have that type of relationship with my wife, a deep covenantal relationship, a friendship that will carry you through all sorts of things. And let me tell you something, you know, soldiers going off to Afghanistan, and you think that it's a marriage certificate or whatever that's going to keep that marriage together when they go off. Let me tell you what keeps a marriage together. It's not the certificate. It's the friendship in the marriage that keeps the marriage together when you go through troubling times. A covenantal friendship. Why is it that we don't necessarily have these types of covenantal friendships anymore? You look around at the United States and you look at the world that we live in, and you know we don't need to have those types of friendships, do we? In the biblical times, David and Jonathan, if you didn't have that kind of friendship with a lot of people, you would die. Because it was those friendships that carried you when there was famine or when wars came or when there was distress in the land. You relied on your friends, and it was the only way that you got through. But today, we live in a consumer society where you can actually basically get up in the morning and you can shower and you can go to work and you can do your work and you can come home and you can do your shopping and you can be surrounded by a lot of people, but you cannot have any deep emotional friendships. Think about it. I have a Hyundai Sonata, all right? Now, you have to understand, a Hyundai Sonata is just like the Camry, all right, the Toyota Camry, except that it's a whole lot cheaper. And when I was looking to get a car to, you know, to drive around here in Vail, I really wanted to get a used Toyota Camry. And so I was looking at Toyota Camrys, and then my mother-in-law came, and she visited us, and she rented one of these Hyundai Sonatas and drove it, and I was able to drive one of these, and I said, this is a great car. And even though I want a Toyota Camry, this Hyundai Sonata would actually be just as fine. And so it ended up that I got the Toyota Camry for cheaper than what I probably could have bought. I got the Hyundai Sonata for cheaper than what I could have bought a used Toyota Camry. Are you with me so far? Okay, so. But the point of the story is this. That's very complicated. But the point of the story is this. As soon as I found something better come along, I dumped the idea of getting a Toyota Camry, and I went with the Hyundai Sonata. It was a cheaper car. It filled my needs, right? And that's the way we live in a society. As soon as something better comes along, we dump the old thing and we go with the new thing. And that's actually what capitalism is all based upon, right? And that's what our United States is all based upon. We want things cheaper. We want things more convenient. We want things to work better. And so when we see something new or better come along, we dump the old thing and we go with the new and better thing. And so many of us carry that type of consumer mentality into our relationships. You know, we have a friendship that works for us right now. We don't have to put too much into it. But as soon as we see another friendship come along, we dump the old friend and we go with the new one. And we never, ever, ever get below the veneer. We never, ever get below the veneer of our friendships. And why is that? Why is that? I have a couple friendship quotes. What is friendship? This is from Raymond Baran. He says, "What is a friend? Friends are people with whom you dare to be yourself. Your soul can be naked with them. They ask you to put on nothing, only to be what you are. They do not want you to be better or worse. When you are with them, you feel as a prisoner feels who has been declared innocent. You do not have to be on your guard. You can say what you think as long as it is genuinely you. Friends understand those contradictions in your nature that lead others to misjudge you. With them, you breathe freely. You can avow your little vanities and envies and hates and vicious sparks, your meanness and your absurdities, and in opening them up to a friend, they are lost, dissolved on the white ocean of their loyalty. They understand. You do not have to be careful. You can abuse them, neglect them, tolerate them. Best of all, you can keep still with them. It makes no matter. They like you. They are like fire that purged to the bone. They understand. They can weep with you, sing with you, laugh with you, pray with you, through it all and understand. And underneath, they see, know, and love you. A friend? What is a friend? Just one, I repeat, with whom you dare to be yourself." You see, the friendship that Jonathan and David had wasn't a casual friendship at all. It was a deep, deep friendship. And without that deep friendship, with Jonathan being the son of the king, if it wasn't for that deep friendship, David would never, ever have been king. Ever. But because Jonathan loved David and David loved each other so much and they developed that bond, a covenantal friendship, where they got below the veneer and got deep to each other, it saved David's life. And it allowed David to be king even when Saul, Jonathan's dad, wanted to kill David. A covenantal, deep friendship. And let me tell you something. All of us in our life need friendships like that. It is what makes life worth living. It is what we were created for. If you go back to the Garden of Eden, go back to Genesis, you've got the 6 days of creation. You've got day one, day two, day three. God created the heavens and the sun and the moon and the stars and the plants and the animals. And after everything, God said, it is good, it is good, it is good. But then when God saw man by himself, he looked at man and what did he say? He said, it is not good. It is not good for man to be alone. Why is it? It's because man was created in the image of God. And man was created to have deep friendships, to share your emotions and your life with other people. That's the way you were created. So if you go around saying, well, I don't need friends, I don't need to get involved in other people's lives, fact is, that's not true. You were created for deep, emotional, covenantal friendships. Because the God that created you in the Old Testament is not the singular God, El, but the plural God, Elohim. You see, God in heaven exists as three people in one, and it's a covenantal friendship. He exists in relationship. And so when he created you, you need relationship in your life. And without relationships, you are just as lost as David would be if he didn't have that friendship with Jonathan. Why is it that we don't have deep covenantal relationships, and especially today in this world that we live in? And I think one of them is because perhaps we feel that we don't need friends. We just don't really need to let people get inside our lives. We look at other people and maybe we're feeling just a little bit superior to them. And so we don't want them to come and be a part of our life because we're too good for that. But the fact is, think about Jesus. Jesus, who gave up everything and came out of heaven to become a friend, to become human, so that he could befriend us. He gave up everything. He gave up his superiority and his throne of heaven to come up and to be a part of us. And if he didn't do that, we would never have been saved. He never felt superior to us. He was a true friend. And some of you may think, well, I would like deep friendships, but if people really knew inside who I was, they would not like me. They would see the dark sin that exists in my life, and they would not ever consider being my friend. Think of this. Jesus Christ has purged every sin out of your life. He loves you just the way you are. And if you won't let other people get in because you are afraid that they won't like what you see, it's probably because you don't like what you see in your life. But Jesus Christ likes what he sees in your life. He likes you just the way you are. He loves you just the way you are. He died for you just the way you are. He is the true friend that lives in your life. And once you realize what he did for you and that he accepts you just as you are, then you can begin to see that you are a child of God and allow other people to get into that deep covenantal relationship in your life. We need friends in our life. It is the only thing that survives. You go to anybody at the end of their life and they won't care about their car or their job or anything. What will they care about? The deep friendships that they had in this life. My prayer for you is that you have those deep friendships. I want to go back to the story of David and Jonathan. You'll notice that Jonathan was willing to sacrifice everything to be a friend of David. He gave up his potential kingship. He became disenfranchised a little bit because with his father Saul, because he protected David. He was willing to do all that because of his friendship with David, his covenantal friendship with David. And you and I have a friend just like Jonathan, and his name is Jesus, who will never leave you or abandon you and wants to have that deep covenantal relationship with you. And he says in John 15 from our gospel lesson today, he says, greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus did that for us. In his name, amen.